Let's take now the scriptures, God's word, and turn in them to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 28. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 28. And we'll begin in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. These are the words of God. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written of you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We encourage you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from evil, every form of evil. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Those are God's words. And so this last chapter, the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4 ended with Paul encouraging the saints concerning the resurrection and the second coming of Christ. And this one, chapter 5, begins with showing the usefulness, or the uselessness of trying to figure out the exact time of Christ's return, which will be very sudden and terrible for the wicked, but great for His people. We're then exhorted to be watchful, to be exercising our faith, hope, and love, knowing Christ died for us to save us from eternal damnation, to give us and grant to us eternal life in Him alone. And then 12 through 14, the duty of appreciating those who labor amongst you in the church to honor them, elders, pastors. And while the rest of the chapter is taken up in the many more duties of the Christian, in which all Christians are to love God and love their neighbors. Beloved, we do not know when Christ will return, but what we do know is that He died for us, and so we come to Him now worshiping Him, that we would grow in communion with Him So we would be those who honor him with our lives and with our hearts. And so we worship him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word. Father, we're thankful for the encouragements to continually come back to the gospel in Christ your Son, knowing that we will be together with him for all eternity. Just as he desires, as he prayed in John 17, that we would be with him where he is forever. And Father, we're thankful for the exhortations to rejoice in the Lord in everything. In everything good and everything that seems bad. That we would rejoice in you. That we would constantly come back to the gospel and the grace that you've shown to us. Rejoicing always with you, in you, our Lord. Father, we also hear the command to pray unceasingly, something that both those commands, to rejoice in everything and pray unceasingly, seems quite out of our grasp and beyond our understanding of how to actually do that. And yet, Father, it is your command. We ask that you would, even when we're not able, not willing, that your Spirit would groan within us, interceding for us, just as Christ intercedes for us, living to make intercession for us. That we would pray unceasingly, we'd give thanks to you in everything, rejoice in you in everything. Father, that we would not be asleep, that we would not be lazy, that we would not go and stand upon the hill waiting for your coming to come, but that we would be watchful as we serve you, that we would be zealous in our service of you and our being slaves of righteousness, as we long for the coming of Christ. We don't know when it will be. And so, Father, we ask that you give us patience while we look in hope, knowing that your Son said very clearly many times, I am coming soon. Father, we long that he would be coming soon. We know that he has come in various time periods to judge, and yet we await his second coming, when we will meet him in the clouds. And Father, we pray that you would bring it about at the right time for our good. We pray that you would give us long lives of service to you, but also that we would not only live well, but die well. That you would train us even now, prepare us for our dying moment, our dying moments. That we would be, even in that time, a light shining on a hill. Father, we do ask that you would watch over our congregation. We prayed for the church this morning, the visible church. We pray for our congregation this evening, that you would grow us in sanctification, cleanse us of our sin, cause your word to go into our hearts, and that it would do that great work of that full picture of salvation, of sanctification and glorification at the right time. At the right time, as you call us to yourself, you would make us perfectly holy and glorify us in your Son. We're thankful for the promise that those who are justified will be glorified, and that you predestine us unto good works, to walk in them. Not that we would boast in ourselves, but that we would boast in you. the God in Christ who saved us from our sins and from death. Father, we also ask that you would be with our children, those who have not publicly professed faith, as we prayed this morning, that you would bring them to yourself, and that they would know you, not one more day without and apart from you. That they would know you intimately, that they would know your Son, that they would feel the grief and the sorrow over their sins, and repent of them and believe on the gospel. And then, Father, we do ask that you would help our witness, our evangelism, that we would be often inviting people to come and worship you here, that we would call sinners to repentance, and that you would grow your church that way, in number, and so in quantity and quality. We ask that you would help us and grow us, your church, for your glory, not for our own sake, that we might boast before men, but that we might glory in you, and that you would be all glorified. Father, in all these things, we call upon you for your help, but we give you thanks in all of it, because you have brought us thus far, you've kept us thus far, and you've always kept your promises, because your loving kindness endures forever. And this we praise you and give you thanks, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.